I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we have a Savior who is worth praising, a Savior who is above all and greater than all, and He is God, and I'm so thankful for that. Well, 1 year ago this Sunday, so it was the last Sunday of October, Ashley and I, we were sitting in our kitchen table and anxiously awaiting a Zoom call, and we got a Zoom call. I saw your bright, wonderful faces. I believe it was Robert that was the one leading the Zoom call, and at that point, Faith Community Church asked us to come and be pastor, and and I cannot tell you how blessed we have been. What a blessing each of you have been to me, to Ashley, to Eli. We are overwhelmed. And for Dave to say, he could speak for himself. Yes, I can speak for myself. I have been so overwhelmed, especially this month, you know, Pastor Appreciation Month. Thank you so much for the cards and the acts of kindness and the encouraging words. God is so good. And the only reason why we are here is because of Him. The only reason why we call ourselves a family, a community, is because of Him. And so as grateful as I am for all of the encouragement and blessing that you have overwhelmed me with, I want to take all that and deflect it and say it's all because of Jesus. And praise Him, honor Him, glorify Him, because He's the one that is really worth it. Amen? Amen. So speaking of anniversaries, though, over 500 years ago today, a brave, courageous man took 95 theses, theses, that's how you say it, right? I always make the joke saying I want 95 Reese's on this day. But apparently there was a big hot debate that's not how you say Reese's. So anyway, Reese's is what I've been told, but it still works. A courageous man took 95 theses, and he nailed them to a door in Wittenberg, Germany. And the reason why he did this was because he saw problems in the church that he loved, and his desire was not to break away from that church. His desire was to reform that church. That's why we have the Reformation. And in keeping with that, I think it's important that every so often we take the time to recognize and realize what it is that we're doing. Are we doing things just out of routine? Is it just a rote pattern that we're stuck in? Or are we evaluating everything? The Bible, in fact, says that we ought to evaluate everything. Everything that we hear, everything that we taught, we need to check it against the Word of God. And so Martin Luther, when he nailed those 95 statements, theses to the door, his to bring people to a closer relationship with Jesus. His desire was to refocus hearts and minds on Jesus and Jesus alone. We have those five solas: Scripture, God's grace, the Bible alone, grace alone, faith alone, making sure that we are not doing anything that's not found in here. And so I wanted to mention that today because it is an important anniversary. It's a good reminder for us that we ought to, even now, be asking God to reform our hearts. Even now, God, would you do a work in me? Would you do a work in me every single day to reorient my life, reorient my heart, my attitude to you and you alone? That's a good thing to pray each and every day. Amen? Well, all right, those preliminary statements are out of the way. Now we're jumping into Ephesians, and I promised you last week that we are just about done with Ephesians, and we are just about done with Ephesians. In fact, if you are following along, if you've been paying attention, we've actually covered every single verse in Ephesians. So you're maybe thinking, okay, so what are we covering today? If we've already covered every single verse, what more is there to talk about? Well, we're actually going to do something a little different today. We're going to do something that I think is very, very, very old, but it's going to be very, very new to some of you. In the early church, when they would receive a letter from Paul or Peter or James, what they would do is they would gather the church gather, and they didn't have a big, beautiful building like we do. They were crammed into somebody's home, and probably a lot of them were meeting in secret, meeting in hiding, and they'd gather together, and they would be there in someone's home as the church body, and they would take that letter from Paul or Peter or James, whoever had written it. Paul wrote 13 of them, so it's most likely going to be Paul. But they take that letter, they gather together, and they would read it out loud to one another. And that would be their service. That would be how they would understand and hear the word of God. And we don't typically do that. Typically, what we do is we cover a couple of verses, we read it, we say amen, and you listen to me talk, and hopefully it's good. But I want to spend today, we're going to read Ephesians from start to finish. And the reason why is, one, because it's a good thing to hear the word of God, isn't it? I'd much rather hear God's words than mine, okay? I'd much rather hear God's words than yours. So it all balances out. But not only that, but I think that there is a, as I just said, this is an old thing. I think there's a historical importance to this too. As we hear the word, if we hear this letter that was written to the churches in Ephesus, we hear this letter from start to finish, hopefully what it will do is take this entire last year of us gleaning truth from the book of Ephesians and put it all together. As I said before, there are really two main sections of Ephesians. The first three chapters is about, look what God has done. And the last three chapters are, now you go and you do. Because of what God has done, there are now things that we need to do. And there are really a few main key themes in Ephesians. The first is that we see that God has, it's coming for you. God has reconciled. Jesus has reconciled all things to himself. He's reconciled us. The next theme is that God has united us. That's why in the midst of working through Ephesians, when we got to chapter 4, we got to chapter 4 in the summer and we took a break. And what did we go through? Our church covenant. Because he has united us. Because we are his. We are his body. We are the church. And so we look at what Jesus has done. He's reconciled us. He's united us. And out of that, we now need to live a life that is pleasing to him. We now, as Christians, need to live as Christians. So I'll stop talking now. Open up your Bibles if you haven't already, and we're going to start Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mysteries of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ Jesus as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire the possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers, that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in your knowledge of him, having your eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and in the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made by the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have briefly written. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden in ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is for your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he might grant you to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, might have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of mind. They are darkened by their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, to practice every kind of impurity. But this is not the way that you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. So put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity for the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexually immoral and all impurity of covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of life is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them instead. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when everything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man should leave his wife and mother and leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand firm, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may know that I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith. From God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ, grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. And God, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Isn't that good to just hear the Bible? Isn't it just good to hear God's words? I would encourage you, not only now, because it's fresh in our minds, but I would encourage you to make a commitment starting now. You know, you hear about New Year's resolutions. Those are a couple of months away, right? But start now. Why don't we just make a commitment to read God's word more often? There's no bad that can come out of that. I guarantee you. This is something that you will be blessed by. This is something that as you read God's word, it will stick in your heart. And the incredible thing is that there are these smart computer devices that fit in your pocket, right? And you can download something, and you know what it will do? It'll read the Bible to you. You can put your headphones in, go for a walk, and you can just hear God's word. Isn't that great? Or you could just read it. That's the other option. But folks, we need to read the Bible more often. We really do. And I love reading a book from start to finish in this way because I think it gives us the context. I think it allows us to see the whole picture. And for you and I, as we have, over this last year, worked through Ephesians and seen just a little snapshot each and every week, that's good. It's expository preaching. It's really good and helpful for us to get it down to the nitty-gritty. But sometimes we can be so focused on the microscopic view that we forget to see the macro view. Someone once said you need to read the Bible with a microscope and with a telescope. I think that's what we just did today. We saw it with the telescope, and this last year we've looked at it through a microscope. So I hope it's been a blessing to you. I know it's been a blessing to me. But as we reflect on the book of Ephesians, and this is the last Sunday for a while, I'm sure, because I love Ephesians, that I'll say open up your Bibles to Ephesians. But I hope that as we reflect on this, this really will help us to remember what God has done and what we now need to do. It's not about pleasing him. It's not about... He loves us, okay? He loves us, he loves us, he loves us. So it's not about we can earn his grace. But we want to walk in a way that pleases him. So because of what he's done, because of who he is, we ought to live our lives in a way that does please him. We ought to live our lives in a way that just screams and shouts, I belong to Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, it's been a different morning, but it's been a wonderful time to reflect on you and your word and your great grace and kindness towards us. Lord, as we reflect on your word, as we reflect on the book of Ephesians, Lord, would you remind us of who you are and what you've done? And would that inspire, empower, motivate us, challenge us to live in a way that pleases you, live in a way that is worthy of the gospel by which we've been called. We thank you so much, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus and Jesus alone. Lord, I pray that today as we go out from here, that we would live our lives in a way that screams and shouts that we belong to you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.